Hey, everybody. Welcome to another First Run Bald Movie. I'm your host, Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
And tonight we went and did Battle with the Undead, Zombieland 2 Double Tap, or is it Zombieland Double Tap?
Yes, all of the above.
And it brought back all the original cast, the original director, Ruben Fleischer, who has done some work that I've thought was okay, some work that haven't seen. Here's my problem. This felt like Zombieland 5. The fifth installment of the franchise where everybody didn't want to show up and they just, you know, dumped a dump truck full of cash on Woody Harrelson and Jesse Eisenberg.
less Dawn of the Dead, more Diary of the Dead.
Yeah, it just, but... like a lot of, some people gave the Breaking Bad movie El Camino flack for being unnecessary, which I thought was crazy. This was very unnecessary.
Completely.
There was no reason to do a Zombieland 2, especially after what has been 10 years since the original Zombieland.
I think that was the reason.
Just because it's
an anniversary, a big anniversary of what to be honest is a pretty beloved movie.
No, like, I really love Zombieland. I love Zombieland, yeah. But they had zero new ideas. Yeah. Like it was, have you seen Zombieland? This is just more of Zombieland. This felt like a, like I said, it felt like a dispirited sequel that had been run into like this is Ocean's 19 or something, and everybody hates each other. Here's the thing, in case you're wanting to take old Aaron's review to the bank, I saw this in a nearly packed theater. That was at the smallest house in our theater, or in the theater that we go to. And everyone was having a really good time. They were laughing at jokes, and I was like looking around. I wanted to put on those like x-ray specs to see if the people were like fucking lizard people or something. And it's boasting a 70% fresh rating on Rotten Tomato.
Like a critic rating?
Yeah.
What?
And I went through real quick and I looked at the critic rating, and the splat tomatoes are all like exactly what I think about the movie, and the fresh ones are just like, well, you know, people look like they're having fun. I didn't think they were looking like they had fun.
My audience was not having much fun. My audience laughed 2-3 times during this movie, and they weren't great laughs. They were like one pretty big laugh, one smaller laugh, and then not much else.
There was a couple, I think, solid laughs in the film, but they were almost all spoiled by the trailers.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a lot of things that they introduce and they do, but then they don't really do anything with. Like,
or they don't do much with. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's like different types of zombies now. There's zombie evolution, but that doesn't really pan out. In fact, what's amazing is the central kind of like, I'm not going to spoil it, obviously, but the central motivating plot that is put in motion the rest of the movie is the only one that's completely unresolved by the end. Like, everyone kind of gets like a little mini arc, and all the characters kind of get have a nice little hero's journey, except for... the situation that was kicked off the entire movie. So I don't know. I'm not going to hate people if they like this movie and they have a good time with it. I just thought this was as tired as the zombie concept itself.
Yeah, absolutely. There were a few scenes that I enjoyed. There are a couple of action scenes in this movie that I thought were pretty good. There's a small one and then a really big one. And I ended up liking both of those.
Yeah.
But the comedy they were going for did not quite hit me the way they wanted it to. And yeah, everything just felt like zero effort.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Because here's the other thing with the sound, the action scenes is the sound in our theater was set to ear splitting.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, I couldn't tell if the sound mix was kind of ugly in general or if it was just like turned up way too loud, because like there was a weird thing where all the Jesse Eisenberg monologues were like slightly echoey. Like,
yes,
they were
ours was too.
Okay, so yeah. They just fucked up the sound mix of this fucking thing?
Yeah, I think the mastering's not very good.
Because wow. Yeah. I was going to chalk that up to just like the theater being tweaked.
He might have recorded that in a bathroom on his cell phone. I don't know.
Literally phoned it in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's the first thing I noticed, which sort of set the awkward tone for the rest of the movie. And when the jokes started piling up and not landing,
it's also a pretty ugly film from like a lighting and just like the colors and whatnot. Yeah. I thought that, like, you know, the old gag from the first one where anytime a rule is mentioned, it rolls in. Like, I thought that was poorly done. And
yeah, there were a couple of moments where I was like, okay, somebody has seen the original Zombieland and they're trying to play around with the things that did, but they never get beyond the stage of, what if we brought back something from Zombieland?
Yeah.
They never got to the stage of, and how is the audience expecting us to use that? And what can we do to subvert those expectations and make this something new, something more interesting than just a reheat of Zombieland?
It reminded me a lot of the Blues Brothers 2000 sequel in that, like, oh, I know, all the set pieces we did in the first movie, we'll just do those 10% harder.
Yeah.
And it's like, nah, you need to do a lot more. You need to come up with new things. You need to, this was so subversive and clever and kind of like deconstruction-y. You got to continue, like, you know, I think Deadpool was a pretty good job of like trying to find new ways to work, you know, and add new elements. Like, you know, he was a complete loner before, now he's got a team. Like, this just is, there's really nothing different about it, except for Little Rock is now a young woman and she wants that's it. That's the only character change. She's
actually, you're right about that. Everybody looks about the same too.
Look the same.
Except she's grown up.
They act the same.
Jesse Eisenberg looks the same.
Yep. They're still having the same interactions with
each
other.
Woody Harrelson looks basically the exact same. I'm actually shocked at how the same Woody Harrelson looks after 10 years. Yeah, they all, you know, look the same. Yeah, this is another Zombieland, and I don't know that it holds up in the year 2019.
Yeah. Well, shall we talk about trailers before we continue to carve this thing up in the spoiler section?
Yeah, let's do it.
First one up for me was Birds of Prey, subtitled The Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. I mean, this movie looks like a loud mess.
Yep.
I do like Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn.
She nails it. That was they couldn't have picked a better
best
actor.
Part of Suicide Squad. But like, none of these trailers have instilled me with super confidence in the project.
No.
So,
and this is like, yes, Joker was technically a DC film, but it was trying something entirely different. This doesn't seem to be. So I'm not interested.
Yeah. Then I saw a trailer for a movie called The Turning, which is a spook show starring Wolf Finhard. They're playing like upper crust children, like wealthy children that are needing a governess or a nanny, and that nanny is the woman that I know you like from Halt and Catch Fire.
Mackenzie Davis?
Yeah, so she's going to be
a nanny?
She's governess, like Mary Poppins style, and there's a lot of creepy things happening. There's some
Cameron
ghosts.
Cameron from Halt and Catch Fire.
Yes.
The tall blonde.
Yes.
Is a nanny.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. She is really stretching here then. All right.
With these two children that like they're still like maybe they're both bad seeds or maybe they're just haunted by some kind of spirit and
Interesting.
I don't know. This looks like it might be a little bit of shit. What was that? The Haunting? Yeah. Remember the CGI Fest remake, early 2000s remake of The Haunting?
Oh, Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it had Liam Neeson in it. Yep. And it reminds me a lot of that. Like, it's big CGI special effect-y.
Okay.
But leans a lot on creepy, but probably is not going to be able to deliver the goods.
I got to see this trailer now.
All right. You should check it out. I saw another trailer for The Kingsman. This was a slightly different one, slightly longer. Talked more about the premise and the situation. One thing I did realize this, but I never knew that the Kingsmen were a private intelligence agency. Like, they don't work for any particular government. And when I heard that today, I'm like, that's scary. That's scary. You know, because like Rafe Fiennes is saying something like, while the governments wait for their orders, we spring into action. I'm like, You mean while we, the people, are like trying to figure out what to do about like world wars and shit, you guys are just going to go in there and...
Yeah.
I mean, I know how the world wars went, so it's... I mean, could they have gone worse?
They could have without the Kingsman.
Like, I don't know. That seems like an inherently fucked concept. Like, yeah. Private intelligence agency, another way to say... criminal organization, terrorist organization.
Well, we're about to cover a show called Watchmen. I don't know if you're aware of the premise of that one, but yeah.
Was Spectre and James Bond a private intelligence agency?
Definitely not.
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I'll probably go check this out.
I've liked the other two, so.
Yeah.
I'll give it a shot, although I will say I'm inherently less interested in the concept of this one.
A flashback to a fake organization.
That character was not my favorite character. Mm-hmm. And so seeing the origin story of him as a character is not super interesting to me. But in as much as it's the origin of the Kingsman in general.
Wait, which character is it the origin story of?
Isn't it tall eye patch guy?
Colin Firth?
Yeah.
I think.
Am I wrong about that?
Well, I mean.
I assumed. Quite a bit.
I was gonna say maybe because there was another guy that was like in the big chair. Maybe it's his origin story, but I don't think he's like a 20-year-old and 1914.
Oh, is this okay? This is if like it's World going War all the way back, yeah. Then he's not in. Yeah, he can't be. Yeah.
But it might be the origin story of like the whoever that was sitting at the top of the Kingsman organization, which I can't even remember.
Jeff Daniels. No.
I saw a trailer for a movie called Like a Boss, which Rose Byrne and Tiffany Haddish own some kind of boutique company, and Selma Hayek buys them out as a venture capitalist and just is trying to run their company into the ground. And it's just
why?
Like you've seen this
movie. Does she have a vendetta?
No, it's personal? more of like she's using their company as like a pump and dump, like to get rid of a bunch of shitty products, and like she's running roughshod. And I've seen this
tax
type of
dodge
movie
and...
a million times with like dudes running it. So have your fun, but I'm probably going to skip this.
Okay,
I saw the very first long form trailer for The Current War, which is the story of Tesla, Westinghouse, and Edison and their war of electricity. Mm-hmm. It stars Michael Shannon as Westinghouse, comes a bunch as Edison, I think, and Nicholas Holt as Tesla. I might have Edison and Westinghouse confused, but that looks interesting. What a meteoric rise Nikola Tesla has played in popular culture. Mm-hmm. Like I remember like 10 years ago when I first heard the historical revisionism that's like, you know what? Thomas Edison's kind of an asshole. Uh-huh. You know who is the real unsung hero here? Nikola Tesla. And like now there's a big budget movie that's probably going to establish that fact.
Because he was just the inventor, not the businessman.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm interested in this.
I wonder if they're going to have, because it seems like they're going to lean into like all the terrible shit that Edison did, like electrocute an elephant in front of a live audience to show how dangerous.
You got to impress people somehow.
Yeah, I guess.
And they didn't have fancy graphics back then. All they had was animals to murder.
Giant, intelligent,
the bigger, the
sensitive
the
animals.
More impressive, yeah.
There's an interesting movie called Black and Blue, which is a black female law enforcement officer with a body cam actually observes some kind of killing where the cops are complicit at a very high level with the local gang members. Mm-hmm. And now she has to run. She's on the run from her in her own city, and all the cops and all the criminals in town are against her.
Huh.
Kind of an interesting, it's almost like Judge Dredd. It felt very Judge Dredd, like the block shutting down and everyone's against her, and she's like trying to, you know, use her old friends and stuff and that is lots of action and whatnot, but it just takes place in current day.
It might
all
be kind
about
of cool.
Body cam, like can she get the body cams to the right authorities before the wrong authorities hunt her down and kill her?
Right.
And then what seems like a spectacularly bad idea is Bad Boys for Life.
Yep.
starring Will Smith and
Martin. What's his name?
Yeah,
I'm thinking of all the Martins. I haven't seen this Martin in so long.
Shit, man, you fucked me up because I had it right on the tip of my tongue. Martin Lawrence.
Lawrence, thank you.
And he looks like he's about three different weights in this trailer.
Yeah, he does.
I don't
know. Is that intentional?
I don't know if he's cutting carbs like desperately throughout the whole process or what, but there's like kind of sort of 15 years ago, Martin Lawrence. There's like, you know, some kind of Martin Lawrence wearing a fat suit, and there's kind of the in between. I don't know. Maybe it's bad lighting. Yeah. It doesn't help that Will Smith is like, you know, went
50
from,
years old and looks like he's just stepped out of Bel Air. Yeah.
Not just that, but Bel Air, and he's jacked now.
Right.
You know, he was like Beanpole before. Now he's like fucking The Rock.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Shake and bake. I remember really liking the Bad Boys movies.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like 19, 21, 23. Yeah, like,
that's fair.
I bet they didn't age well.
They probably haven't.
Knowing who all was attached to them. That's all the trailers I had in my house. What'd you have in yours?
So I had a lot of those. I had Bad Boys, Kingsman, Birds of Prey. I also got the Black Bonnie and Clyde movie. I forget what it's called.
Oh, right.
With Daniel. Yeah.
Queenie and... something.
Daniel Kaluuya.
I
can't think of his actual name.
Yeah.
Get Out, Dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, which looks awesome. I'm probably going to see that. Then I saw another Charlie's Angels preview, which I think was the
Queen
same one.
Queen and Slim.
Queen and Slim. And then I saw...
What was the trailer you just mentioned?
Charlie's Angels.
There you go.
Yeah. And then I saw one called 21 Bridges.
Huh.
Which looks like it is this extra legal shutdown of Manhattan. Like, they're trying to find criminals and they can't let the public get wind of the lengths they're going to catch these criminals. And they let one cop off the chain and he shuts down all of Manhattan, like closes all the bridges.
Is this not Escape from New York?
Like, I think it is. Yeah.
It sounds a lot except like it, right?
Yeah. No, it's a lot like that. And then I guess like the cops are somehow involved in the crime
the one
that happened
cop
and
nicknamed Snake by
no,
chance. No, is John Carpenter attached to this movie?
Definitely not. But I don't know. It looks why? It's interesting to me that so many of our movies now are depicting cops as the bad guys. And, you know, I can maybe understand why.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see how this movie is.
We've had a lot of bad policies that have turned our cops into.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't feel as serve and protecty as it used to.
Not as much. But that was it. That's all I saw.
Okay. Well, this is the point where we say goodbye to everyone who's not a club member. We have got a lot of cool movies coming up. 3 weeks from now, we'll be back November 7th for Dr. Sleep. Which is, if you didn't know, a direct sequel to The Shining, at least the novel. It's interesting because I was watching American Horror last night, and it had like one of those featured deals where like every commercial break had a look into Dr. Sleep. I remember when we did The Shining movie review that Mr. King talked a lot of shit about Stanley Kubrick's version. He's singing from a different hymn book now.
Is he? I mean, there's
all this,
there
all this
shot
promo
for
stuff.
Shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about how this is a direct sequel to Stanley's movie.
I mean, you're not going to, in your marketing, you're not going to lean into the Stephen King version.
He's Stephen
the
fucking
Shining.
King. He's got to have $500 million in the bank. Take your shots.
Yeah. But I guarantee you one out of every 50 people who have seen a movie called The Shining have seen the Stephen King version.
Yeah, that's true. I just wish that, like, I have fond memories of Tom Clancy doing a director's doing a commentary for Clear and Present Danger with Ben Affleck, where he just savaged the film. Just how terrible it was and how stupid and all the changes they made this book and how it wouldn't actually work. And
What was Ben doing while that was happening?
They seemed like they got along really well. Like,
really?
Yeah. Like Ben's defending it because I don't think that movie is exactly a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I agreed with almost everything Tom said about it. Like, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They fucking Hollywooded it. But yeah, I want to see Stephen King do a commentary for the original Shining and the new Shining and not hold anything back, or Dr. Sleep.
That would be great.
I'm excited for Dr. Sleep. I remember getting really into The Shining when we did that review, and I got a lot into like the lore of the making of that movie. I actually went back and read the original Shining, and I thought it was really great and terrifying in a completely different way that the movie was. And I started to read Dr. Sleep because it sounded like, you know, Danny Ong grown up, and he's kind of like a psychic ghost hunter, but he's also tormented by it, of course. And I didn't get very far into it because, you know, Bald Move Duty called, but I'm excited to go back to that. And the rest of the year is just a barn burner. We got Ford versus Ferrari, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Star Wars Episode 9, might be a surprise or two along the way.
All right, spoiler time.
There is one clever thing that I liked about the movie, I was immediately excited for Annette Bening kicking ass on the Columbia logo.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Like coming off her dais or whatever and whipping ass with that torch. I'm like, all right, this is the kind of sly, droll, subversive comedy I've come to expect from a Zombieland. And that was the last thing. The last new or clever inventive thing.
Here's the thing. So I was excited. If you're listening and you really don't want spoilers, but you just normally listen to spoilers, tune out for like a minute.
Okay.
Because I'm going to talk about a scene that will actually spoil this movie.
Mm.
You're gone? Good. Bill Murray.
Okay.
I was excited when Bill Murray showed up.
Uh-huh.
By the end of that scene, I was thoroughly disappointed.
Yeah.
I did not think that was funny.
I was surprised that you got excited. Like, it was the post-credit, like, this movie had already...
I mean, yeah. You're right. I shouldn't have thought, maybe they saved the best for last. I should have thought, run out of gas.
Yeah. Well, we had Bill Murray in the first one. We got to figure out a way to bring him back.
Well, that's what I was thinking, because I remember loving the Bill Murray parts of that movie so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a weird universe, too, because even then, like, I got a grim chuckle out of the concept of someone getting murried.
Uh-huh.
But how in the fuck did that spread? Like, the tale of Tallahassee killing Bill Murray by mistake to become a noun that everyone used, or a verb that everyone used in the zombie apocalypse. I guess if the movie was a little bit smarter, I wouldn't care, because it's like, okay, I mean, a movie can have weird things where, like, who knows what kind of word of mouth, you know, what kind of...
Yeah.
Because there's also electricity still flowing, so maybe there's some blogs are going, or I don't know, some hidden camera stuff.
Right. Yeah, it's the world is so insular at that point. What are you...
Yeah.
Hey, how's that going to spread? I don't know. But yeah, the concept might have been flawed. Much like the concept of this movie was flawed.
So you just want to break it down a little bit just to give the people money's worth?
I really like that Elvis scene. The whole Elvis
thing. Well, let's start, like, first set piece, they decide to go home to the White House. They're going to live in the White House. They clear it out and they live zombie free in this presidential mansion. And I think that, like, they're just like, no one is using the House of Cards set anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, here's a location we can have. Just throw some just tell set dressing to throw some random shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
Arcade machines, bearskin rugs, whatever. Just have it in there. And it's a free set. And that's going to be their place of comfort that they start the hero's journey. The youngest one, Little Rock, wants to date or wants to go see anyone that's her own age, and she just runs off.
She just wants to... This is the thing I didn't like. This wasn't resonating with me, this idea that Tallahassee is Little Rock's father.
No.
Like, this was not resonating with me at all, and they pushed so hard on that. In the movie all the way.
If we had a hypothetical Zombieland 2 that came 2 or 3 years afterwards...
It's in this movie's driveway, you might say.
Or Zombieland 3, so we could see that relationship build?
Yeah.
You know, maybe, but you're right. It's just something that they just asserted that, like, they have a father-daughter relationship, but there is, like, really zero chemistry there, and they didn't do a very good job of selling it.
No, they just overtly... The jokes they were trying to make were too obvious, too broad, too... Mm-hmm. It's just dumb.
Yeah. Like, and then...
Him freaking out about... she's dating a musician. Like, that's just so stupid. It's not funny.
A pacifist, hippie.
Whose California... dad wrote this fucking movie is what I want to know.
There's a lot of, like, dad.
Bill
older...
Murray's dad? Because he's got to be 95 years old.
Yeah, no, it's some really tired shit. And so he proposes to Emma Stone, and she freaks out because she's afraid of commitment. And the two girls who are sisters, I think, are they real sisters? I don't even remember the first one.
Mm.
They assert it, so I'll believe it. They decide to take to the open road. She goes away for a month. Do you remember the blonde, the kind of hot girl that was a zombie infected in the first movie?
The girl in apartment 406, yeah.
Yeah, so imagine if she wasn't a zombie and just shacked up with Jesse Eisenberg for half the movie.
And she
That's
was
literally the joke.
Four times as annoying. Like, here's the thing. You can put... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you can put an annoying character in a movie and have me like it, because when you put an annoying character in your movie and the point of them is to be annoying, mm-hmm. I just get annoyed by your annoying character.
Yeah, yeah.
And that character grates on me in every scene they're in.
Yep.
And you have to do something else with that character other than just be annoying.
They have to grow as a character.
Yes.
They have to be killed in 5 minutes. You have to do something.
They did nothing. They came up with the most broad, genericized stereotypes they could think of.
Uh-huh.
They put them in this film. And, I mean, to be fair, they've got at least four of them in here. They've got the musician. They've got the dumb valley girl. They've got Tallahassee, who's a fucking stereotype. And they've got Jesse Eisenberg, who's a fucking stereotype. Like, come on.
Yeah. So the Little Rock splits because she finds some hot dude in a guitar. That causes Emma Stone to come back to the White House to quote unquote get guns, but really to get back with Jesse. Now he's shacked up with the stupid blonde. So now they're all on a road trip to Graceland.
Yeah.
I can't remember why.
It's because,
Little Rock wanted
to go.
Little
Rock actually does love her foster dad or whoever the hell Tallahassee is to her.
Right.
Like, yeah.
So they go in there. Graceland's burnt out, but there's this hotel that's like, in Memphis, of like, I'm sure there is. It's all the Elvis theme, and that's great. And then they run into Rosario Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
And her and Tallahassee just are having this improbable love affair. And then the next day, Tallahassee in the form of Luke Wilson pulls up, and this is funny for like 30 seconds.
Yep.
Thomas Middleditch is doing a spot on Columbus,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, the joke literally is these three people are mirror images of the other three people. And they die 10 minutes later. It's 9 minutes and 30 seconds too late. Because that joke is this is like a bad Saturday Night Live skit. It's like the flimsiest of concepts, and it's good for one or two jokes, but we're gonna do it for 10 minutes because we got a really long segment to fill in between commercials.
Yeah, they hung this entire movie on jokes. You need to hang jokes on a movie.
Yeah,
and they didn't do it.
Like, the joke is Tallahassee's super fucking masculine. He can't drive a fucking minivan. But every badass vehicle he manages to acquire, it gets fucked up 30 and he's backed in a minivan.
I did like when he threw the grenade in. I will say I liked when he blew up that van.
Right. Because, fuck the minivan. So then I forget how they figured out, but they went to this place called Babylon,
mm-hmm.
which is this giant tower that these hippies have erected a rainbow wall around, and they don't let guns in there. And her Little Rock and her hippie boyfriend, pacifist boyfriend, have gone there. I don't know how these people survived the zombie apocalypse. They also set a bunch of shit up. Like, there's a whole army of these zombies following the hippie and Little Rock to the thing. But that never pays off because these dumbasses stay zombie free until they have this big party on the roof and set off fireworks. Is it the first time they've ever done that? Like, what is Babylon?
Question.
How does it survive? How are they growing food? Do they live off weed?
They do. They live off weed.
It's just like a half realized, like, someone's thought it'd be fun. It's like, what if fucking pacifists smelling their own farts have to be saved from the zombies by Tallahassee, who has this
felt like a fucking Harold and Kumar movie.
Yeah.
Like, Zombieland was smarter than that.
Yeah.
And now it's real dumb. Or maybe I was just dumber than I am now.
That's entirely possible.
I was less steeped in certain cultures or something, because this movie just did not hit me like the first one.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so the ultimate thing is Little Rock wanted to get in a group of her own people. At the end of the movie, Woody Harrelson's paired up with Rosario Dawson. Einberg's back with fucking Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Little Rock, still just literally the third wheel, looking extremely awkward off to the side as the movie ends. And I'm like, You're not going to give her anything for real?
You got to set up a zombie land.
Her arc is to set up her hippie boyfriend with the dumbass mall freezer chick?
Yeah. I don't know, because you can't do another sequel with the same premise. So, I don't know. At the end, I guess she has come to terms with her role in the group.
She's the little kid. She'll always be the little kid. She won't have any...
Right.
I don't know.
Which is pretty dumb.
And Jesse's arc was that he doesn't need to look for a home anymore because home is wherever his loved ones are.
Mm-hmm.
10 years of these people. I don't know. I just how about that Uber Lyft joke? Because
it goes on for minutes.
Yeah, like we got it within 15 seconds. Like, oh, the dumb woman who's been living the zombie apocalypse since 2009 and has completely missed Uber and Lyft has the idea to invent Uber and Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to excruciatingly whiteboard this thing out for 5 minutes.
And we know it's a good idea, and everybody in the car thinks it's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
But then he humors her and says that it's a good idea.
Like, so much of this writing is for, 70-year-olds that think their kids are on the cell phone too much.
Yeah, I'd like to know who is the youngest person.
Like how did they not throw in a Little Rock not being able to work a stick shift joke?
Didn't they? Well, not Little Rock, Tallahassee. Tallahassee couldn't drive that fucking monster truck to save his life. And I get it. Those things are powerful.
I was just thinking that was a joke that they're actually way more complicated to drive than you think. But yeah, you're right.
A stick shift.
He just stalled it. And then that was because that's the thing. Like nothing was wrong with it because Rosario Dawson fucking monster trucks it at the end of the movie.
I assume she fixed it up and came roaring in. Did. But the other thing about that that's hilarious to me is those things are not a roll hazard. Like if you've ever been to a monster truck rally,
yeah,
you fucking know they flip those things all the time.
Uh-huh.
But you touch the gas and the tires just bring you right back up.
Yeah.
You almost can't keep that car from getting back on its wheels.
Yeah.
Because the wheels are so fucking huge.
It was an amazing, any 60-second stretch of the last bit of this movie where she's driving through the zombies with the monster truck is super cool. It's just another thing. It went on forever. We get it. There's nothing zombies can do to a monster truck.
Right.
I mean, I've been to my fair share of monster truck shows, and I've seen them drive through school buses. I'm pretty sure it can handle rotting human beings. I don't care how to. Okay, another thing that annoyed me about the movie, they set up Homers and Hawkings. Uh-huh. So Homers are the dumb zombies. Hawkings are the clever zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got the ninja zombies. None of those zombies mattered.
The ninjas and the Hawkings basically don't show up again.
Right. The Homer is a joke that is really worn out at the end of the movie, and they do it three fucking times. Like how stupid this zombie is, which that's the thing about zombies. And then they have the thing that sticks is I guess now these zombies are called T-800 zombies because they don't go down in one bullet. They can survive multiple shots of the head, except for sometimes they can't. Mm-hmm. They're just bigger, tougher, stronger zombies.
Yeah.
But I was kind of interested. It's okay, there'll be different types of zombies and that'll be kind of interesting. That'd be kind of cool, but they don't do anything with it. It's there's so many ideas that they have and then they kind of half execute and get bored and just move on to the next set piece. And it's very formulaic too. You're going to get loud set piece, 10 or 15 minutes of not character development, just bad jokes, loud set piece, wash, rinse, repeat for 97 minutes and then you're done with the movie.
Yeah. Don't bother.
Yeah.
We just told you everything that happens in this movie in about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Don't waste the other 122 or whatever.
Watch Zombieland again.
Actually, that's the saving grace. It's short. It's an hour and a half.
Yeah, if this was a 2-hour and 15-minute movie, honestly, dude, if this wasn't a bald movie, I would have walked out at somewhere in the second act because I was just I kind of wanted to see it. I'm well, maybe this thing will kick into gear. And when the doppelganger showed up, I was okay, they might have a couple of fresh ideas. But then when they ran that into the ground, I'm I'm not having fun. I want to get out of here.
Yeah.
It's an ugly movie. And it sounds bad.
The Bill Murray
hurts
stuff.
Hurts your ears.
I sort of liked it when he hit Al Roker,
Yeah.
That was kind of funny, but then he goes out in the lobby and it just gets bad.
He just beats up zombies.
They do the same whip pan chair smash on every zombie, mm-hmm. Except the one that he puts through the poster, and he's doing Garfield quips.
The joke is this guy's doing Garfield 3 and how terrible the movie is and how he's in, like, it just everything about it was creaky.
Yeah. It sucks too because I watch Bill Murray, you know, and the joke here is like he's got to sit through an interview over a bad movie that he's answering the same questions over and over again, mm-hmm. and they want him to just do his shtick, mm-hmm. and then by the end of this movie he is doing his fucking shtick,
yeah,
from yeah. some in a very bad movie, and I'm thinking, man, Bill, you've been so much better than this.
This is Garfield 3 that you just got sucked into again.
Absolutely. But yeah. after seeing this movie, I don't blame Bill Murray for that.
No,
I blame the people who were behind the cameras.
Yeah, no, the cast is fine. Like they were, they could pull off material that would have been funny. Mm-hmm. They just weren't given any. And that's the thing I don't understand. Like, as you said, it's some kind of, you know, it's a 10-year anniversary, so let's get the gang back together. But like, nah, I would have always been interested in a Zombieland 2 had it come out. I am not interested at all in Zombieland 3.
No.
Like, what could they say to get me back? Like, if this was a different director or something, that could be like, oh, well, maybe they mm-hmm. brought the original. But this was the original team. They just shit the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully Dr. Sleep will be better. You know, Ewan McGregor. I'm inherently intrigued by the concept. Also, mm-hmm. I'm in the mood for some spooky stuff because... doing the Halloween thing right now and doing the spooktaculars, and Dr. Sleep will be a nice kind of crown on that holiday season. Hopefully it'll be good. Mm-hmm. Thank you for your support. Thanks for being club members. We appreciate it. And we'll see you back here in a couple weeks for Dr. Sleep. Until then, I'm Aaron.
I'm Jim.
Good night.